John chapter 15 is where we're going to be this morning. I am the true vine. I believe that this and next week will be the final messages as we've been covering the I Am series of the I Ams of Christ throughout the book of John. This message is going to be a two-parter, and today is just going to be a very simple and straightforward message, is that by ourselves we can do nothing. The branches are helpless without the vine. Now, when we look at this today, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and in the following days to come, he was going to be led out of the Garden of Gethsemane as a prisoner, as a criminal. He's going to be betrayed by one who said that he was his friend, a man named Judas. He's going to be taken to a mock trial before normal business hours, through the early hours of the morning, so that no one would witness the atrocities and the lies that would be thrown at Jesus. They had nothing to accuse him of. The false accusations that were brought, the false testimony that was brought, none of them could really collaborate together to accuse him of anything. But yet this wasn't a legal, just court system here. This was a good old-fashioned lynching is what was going on here. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They hated him because of the power that he brought was real. The power that many that were trying to hang on to was very temporal and fleeting. They took him to the cross and they crucified him. At the time of his betrayal in the garden, the disciples dispersed. They ran in fear. Some kind of followed close by Peter, but ended up denying the Lord Jesus right before he goes to the cross, as Jesus had told him the night before. John, the one who penned this gospel, was the only one that we have record of that was right there at the cross to the point of his death. But as Jesus was preparing them, have you ever noticed that often when we think of, well, what is the topic that I want to study? You know, our personal devotional times, we're thinking, well, what's a good devotional? Who's wrote a good devotional? Well, the best devotional that you will find is you just open the pages right here. Amen? But let's be honest. Having a devotional book is so helpful at times when maybe we're trying to learn how to understand God's Word and try to get to the meat of that verse or scripture. It's very helpful to have a pastor or pastors who have written devotionals that we can use and supplement our study. So I'm not saying anything against that. But do you realize and notice in your own life that often devotional for that day fulfills the same as Jesus was revealing to his disciples, that I am the true vine, you are the branches, and you can do nothing without me. Why would he say that? Why would he use such a very point-blank illustration or parable-type teaching that he would have challenged them to understand what he's saying? Because they were about to witness the most grotesque and cruel murder, if you will, of the one that they love so much. The one that they have watched raised others to life, heal others of diseases and sickness, and yet they're going to have to watch him go away for just a short time. Their faith needs strengthening. Would you agree that we need that today? Ma'am. You know, as I was talking with somebody this morning, they shared their devotional, and it was on trust, right? Part of that was trust. And you know, as I was thinking about that, why is it that faith, when we talk about faith, it feels comfortable? But when we talk about trust, we're kind of like, ooh, that's a tough one. But when you look at the scriptures, trusting and faith run parallel with each other. In fact, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word believeth means simply to trust in, place your faith in. They all run parallel. So why is it when we talk about faith, I'm comfortable? Because for some reason, we've attributed faith as being a large umbrella that seems to just cover everything, and God's got all that under control, and it seems like I've got my Christian life. No, we think of trusting each other, and we have failed each other at one time or another, right? If we know each other long enough, there's going to be a failure. But why is it that when we say that I'm going to trust Jesus, well, I'm afraid if I trust him, he's going to lead me to Africa, and I have to be a missionary in Africa. I'm going to have to be down there where it's burning hot and in a desert, and you know, who knows where he's going to lead me if I say that I'm going to trust everything he does, but yet God has all that under control, amen? Because if we try to run off without him, it's going to be like a guy named Jonah tried to go to the opposite city of what God was calling him to. God was calling him to Nineveh, but he decided he wanted to go to Tarshish. The Ninevites, they were mean people. If you read the background, they were nasty people. You think the terrorists that we've had to deal with doing nasty things, they were worse. He said, I don't want to go there. I don't like them. I don't want God to save them. So he tried, but he went off on his own. But God got his attention, didn't he? Sent a great fish. Had a revival in the middle of that fish, and the Lord brought him back. And guess where the fish spit him up at? Beaches of Nineveh. Wow, isn't that amazing? Sometimes we just got to trust God in doing what only he can do. Amen? I still like the quote that I heard from Brother Michael Hurst, pastor at Jeff City. He says, we must do what we must do, but only God can do what must be done. And that's a perfect illustration of what we're looking at here today. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So let's read our text. We're going to be in John chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask the blessing of the reading of your word, that your spirit will guide us into the understanding of your word. But Lord, give us the courage and the strength that we need to act upon your word. May it not lay void in our hearts. May it not be forgotten. But may we follow you in obedience, but to be able to produce the fruit that brings glory to your name. For Lord, only you are worthy of our lives, of our strength, and all that we have. Only you are worthy. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we look at, what is the difference between a productive life and an empty life? You know, there's a lot of things that we look at. I know that there's even times that in my business field, they would always challenge us as if you're living productively or not, if you're gaining in wealth, if you're growing and advancing and buying your home and being debt-free and all these. But many of those were focused on, are you successful in this world? But I'm asking you today, the Lord is challenging us today, is asking ourselves, are we productive? Are we producing in spiritual fruit? Are we bringing about a product of our lives? Are we bringing honor and glory to God? And in this, as we look at the new year, we didn't get a chance last week to do that new year message, so I did it on Facebook, but we'll kind of do another echo here, is that as we look at the last year, can we say that we are more productive today? Even worse, 2022. 2021. Even worse, right? We just think of all those bad things that surrounded that. But yet, as God's children, we can say, yes, I am for the better today than I was a year ago. Amen? Because God is able to overcome all of those things in our personal lives. Yes, I had the experience of COVID. I had a wonderful 2-week stay in the hospital. Don't want to go back and do it again. But the Lord blessed me and graciously healed me, and I'm back again. It's been a while, but we're making strides, aren't we? Praise the Lord. And because of His grace, because of His mercy and working in and through us, and we can say, yes, we are the better for today. So let's do a little examination, if we will, in the past year. Can we say that we have grown spiritually over the past year? So maybe thinking, yeah, I think so. Can you say that you have endured incredible challenges with your faith intact? There you go. You know what? I was reminded this week That sometimes just surviving the challenges that you're facing is an exercise of faith. Amen. Just existing and continuing is your growing in faith. Amen. Can you say that you have learned many new and exciting things about who God is and His great love for you? Amen. My first point is, who's who in the vineyard? We're introduced to the vineyard, which something is that they would be very familiar with. In fact, they were probably walking through the vineyard as Jesus was demonstrating, giving them an illustration, if you will, of all that He is and their dependency upon Him. So the fruit of the vine, the grapevines, were something that they were familiar with. In fact, many of those vines that are there in Jerusalem, some are hundreds and hundreds of years old. Isn't that amazing? I've got a neighbor that has a grapevine, and it just crawls all over my fence. It doesn't bring a lot of grapes because they really don't prune it very much. So it just kind of goes on its own. But man, I tell you, it'll put some leaves on quick, and them little runners will go everywhere. They're prolific. They're strong. They're vigorous in their growth. But as Jesus is speaking of the vine, He knows that this is an example that they can understand. But here's something interesting is that we see three examples of the vine used throughout Scripture. First of all, in the Old Testament, it was used many times to represent Israel. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, He says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes?" Now, Isaiah was saying this as a rebuke to Israel. God has done everything for you possible for you to succeed and to be faithful. In other places, we even see that it says that He brought them out of Egypt and planted them in the land of Canaan, a land of promise. As we see all of these blessings that He chose the choicest vine. Well, if we know that the vine is Christ, then we know that it is the choicest vine. There is no better source. There is no better quality that could be found. And you know, I'm not really into grapes and raising grapes, but I have heard that there is a high dollar on value of the grapevines and all the conditions that go around them and growing them at a certain time, certain place, and all of these things go to the produce and the taste of that grape. And as valuable as that is, the most important thing is that vine and the health of it. So yes, there could have never been a greater and better choice than the vine that has been brought to save Israel. What more could have been done? You know, we could ask that question for us today. Amen? What more could be done for us to be faithful to the Lord today? Oh, we have many excuses, don't we? We have many fears and doubts, don't we? But yet when we look at that, all that God has done, He has done everything to perfection to give us opportunity for faithfulness, fruitfulness, obedience, joy, excitement in following the Lord Jesus today. Amen? My friend, don't let those other things drag you down. Don't let those things get in the way. All that God has done for Israel, He has also done for you and me. Isn't that exciting? He has done for us that we would see fruitfulness. But you know what's sad is that the examples that are used in the Old Testament are all rebukes against Israel. Heartbreaking, isn't it? But yet He was trying to call them back from a time of rebellion to see the fruitful opportunities. The doors were wide open to them. Amen? Oh, folks, so many times that God calls upon the past, we think of all those things that we may have to sacrifice or face the unknowns, and yet the whole time, opportunity and blessing, the doors are wide open just waiting for us to take that step of faithfulness, and He takes over. Amen? Oh, how often do we pass up those fruitful opportunities when God is calling us back? The second example is there's a future vine. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, we get a glimpse of a vine that represents the world, the Gentile nations, those that are lost. So Revelation 14, starting with 18, it says, "And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust a sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs." Sounds gruesome, doesn't it? It is. It is a time of judgment. Do you know that God is allowing our day, our world to continue on? He allows the evil to continue, not unchecked, but yet He allows it so that others may come to know Him as their Savior. He would that all would come. He would that none should perish, but that all would come to eternal life. But we see that there will be a time that the opportunity for salvation is over. We find a time of the reaping of the vine of the earth. But unfortunately, this is not an encouraging one. This is a warning, amen, to those who do not know the Lord Jesus, that there will be a time of judgment. So, those that will be judged will be those that are depending upon the world for their substance and their satisfaction. They've turned their back on God, and judgment has come. The third representation of the vine is our Lord Jesus, as we see here in our text that we're reading in John chapter 15. You know, He uses a title, not just that I am the vine, but I am the what? True vine. Now, why would He use an extra explanation, if you will? Why would He have to go that far as to say the true vine? Well, many of the Jews at this day and age thought that simply because that they were of the bloodline of Abraham, that they were going into heaven. So they assumed upon the reality that, well, I have the blood of Abraham in me, so I'm sure I'm going to heaven, which is not the answer, amen? Many today say that, well, I grew up in a church home. I grew up with a church-going family, and so surely I'm okay. No, that's not the case. But yet Jesus comes to each and every heart, each and every individual, to make that decision to either accept or reject the Lord Jesus. And so when He says that I am the true vine, that He says that there are no substitutes, amen? There's only one. Israel could not fulfill that. The prophets could not fulfill that. The law could not fulfill that. We see that the vine of the earth definitely will not fulfill and satisfy all that we need, and will definitely not satisfy God's requirements. But there's only one vine that can make that happen in your life today, and that's the Lord Jesus, the one true vine. As Christians, we simply do not live on substitutes. Once you get a taste of the goodness of God, there's nowhere else. I've had some friends that do very well in business, and they travel a lot, and they go to a lot of businesses and securing contracts and things like that. So they do a lot of dining with these CEOs and those that are in the leading in the company. And he shared with me one time, he said, you know, I've been to so many fancy restaurants, just ate ridiculously priced meals. And now it says it's almost like if I just go to a run-of-the-mill restaurant, the food's terrible. It's awful. I'm just going to go home and let my wife cook because she cooks better. We develop a taste, don't we? We develop a taste and a desire and a hunger for God. When you've had the real thing, And you listen to something that they're just giving milk and they're just running on emotional highs and all this. We're thinking, this isn't good enough. Amen. We want the real thing. We want the Savior that I talk to on a daily basis. We want to worship the one and true God because we know that only He can satisfy. Do you have that hunger today? Do you have that desire today? So, the branches are believers who are found in Christ. Now, here's some challenges in this. In the text, he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I'm at verse 2 in our text, every fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, the second part of that, the pruning process, is what we're going to talk about next week. But I want to talk about he takes away. The one that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Years ago, when I was younger, this was very confusing to me. Because at first reading, I thought, well, that means that those that are Christians and they're not faithful, then he's going to take them, he's going to cut them off. But that's not what that verse is saying. That phrase that says he takes away also means that he lifts up. You know, in just reading examples of grapevines, the branches have a natural tendency to want to grow down and grow along the ground. That's why you always see these trellises and everything is tied up and pulled up. It's their natural tendency that they grow so aggressively that they want to go down and they want to grow along the ground. Well, then the leaves are covered with dust, and then when it rains, it's all muddy. It gets diseased. It can't receive the sunlight that it needs, and it doesn't produce. No grapes will come on that branch when it's laying on the ground. And if it does, it all rots. So what they do is that they lift that up. They'll clean the leaves. I mean, it's a process. And they'll bring it up and they'll tie it up so that it grows up instead of down. And so in that phrase, he takes away, he is not cutting it off. I believe, friend, that when we look at this, he's referring to those that are saved. Now, sometimes people try to say that, well, that means Christians can lose their salvation. Number one, we don't use a parable-type teaching and establishing our doctrinal beliefs, amen? But yet, what is the key context here is that Jesus is giving his believers the known resources that are available to them and who it is that's going to feed them and make them possible to be faithful to him, because they're going to be facing some difficult trials, amen? But yet he says, don't you fall away. Don't you grow tired, but you continue to grow in me. And so he takes those branches, which I believe are believers, which he even reminds us is in verse 3, he said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Because you have heard the gospel, you have trusted in me, you are clean. So see, it even ties in to the verse 2 of the cleaning process, bringing that branch up. You know what, folks? So oftentimes we get discouraged, don't we? We let the discouragement of the world around us, or maybe it's just simply discouragement out of our own neglect of spending time with the Lord. And we bring it into the Lord's house with us. And we think that, you know, I just don't enjoy going to church anymore. I just don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to serve. I'm just so tired all the time. But yet, folks, when God has called you to a service and to a ministry, as we lean upon Him and we rely upon Him, He gives us a supernatural power and ability to do what is needed. Now, oftentimes that we can look in our lives that there's many things that drain us of time, resources, and energy. And that's where I think that in the next message, we're going to get into the pruning process. He encourages us to let go of those things that are draining us needlessly. You know, I've always told my kids, they were like, as they were growing up, that sometimes Sunday morning was a tough thing to get everybody out of bed. They're going home and somebody comes over, I'll tell them, you're welcome to come, but about 9:30, 10 o'clock, you're going home and I'm going to bed because I got to go to work tomorrow. Now, I call it work, but we were preparing for Sunday. Amen? There are things that are good to do, but there are things that are best. And God is going to guide and direct and make that possible if we yield to His convictions and leadership. God has given us such blessed opportunity to bring joy and blessing, not only in our lives, but to Him. So then the other main character that we have is the vine dresser, which is God the Father Himself. The talent, the ability to see to every need, nurturing every sick branch back to health, the professional and effective efficiency that God works with, the knowledge that He has. Is there any other that would be better equipped to care for us? Now, when our second thought, the nature of the vine, it grows vigorously, as I have shared with you. And oftentimes, the vine dressers will allow the vine to grow for some 3 years before they allow it to begin to produce fruit for the sake of maturing the branches and strengthening the vine. It requires constant attention. It requires constant care. And with my last thought, I want us to share, here's something that's interesting for us to consider. Who is the fruit for? For anything? You know, the branch is absolutely worthless for anything but producing fruit. It was too weak to build with. It didn't have enough density to actually heat. If you burn it up, it burns fast. It doesn't really bring heat to the home. So there was really no use. In fact, even in the Mosaic law, they were to bring things to the temple that would be used for the burnt sacrifices. And they distinctly said, do not bring wood from the vine. Don't bring it. It's junk. It's no good. Doesn't count. Right? Isn't that interesting? But here's something at all the same time. We say that the branch is worthless for building or burning or heating with, but yet it's distinct in that that branch is the only one that can bring about grapes. The only one that can bring about a product that is enjoyed by others. The fruit is for everyone else. The branch never eats of the fruit that it produces. It produces the fruit for others, but ultimately for God. Amen? To bring pleasure and glory to the Lord. But yet it also becomes a blessing to others that are around and receiving that fruit. I want to ask you, are you bringing blessings to others around you? Are you drawing others to Christ, or are you driving them away? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom. You know what, folks? Our words can carry great weight, doesn't it? It can carry great consequences as well, does it not? You know, when they talk about the wild grapes, Isaiah was rebuking Israel. We've done everything. God has done everything for you to produce, even prepared for a wonderful crop. But yet he comes and he finds wild grapes. Why do they say wild grapes? Because they're horrible. They're horrible. They're small. They're bitter, sour. What do you do with them? Not much, right? Put all of this investment. You know, God has done the same for us as his people, as his children. Are we producing all that he has invested in? Think of that, folks. So how do we know that we're a fruitful branch? How do we know these things? Well, we examine. How are we living? What is the spiritual fruit that's being produced? Warren Wiersbe had a quote in his commentary I thought was really interesting. The word results is often used and heard in conversation among Christians, but this is not actually a biblical concept. A machine can produce results, so can a robot, but it takes a living organism to produce fruit. It takes time and cultivation to produce fruit. A good crop does not come overnight. Interesting, isn't it? We always talk about results. We always talk about numbers. We're always talking about achieving this goal and that goal. Now, obviously the scripture tells us that we should have goals. We should have things that we're striving for. We're not to be lazy. We're not to be unintentional in what we're doing. But yet when we come to the basis of what is going to produce these results, well, we're thinking, oh, we're going to have a great pastor. Got to have a rock star pastor. He's got to have the cool youth pastor. We got to have a rock band for our praise team, or we got to have a big church and all of this. And we think of all these things physically, and we find out that you can have all of those and still not be growing. Amen? What does it take? It takes you in the pew, right where you are today. It takes you faithfully seeking, faithfully surrendering, faithfully acting upon the convictions of God's word upon your heart. It takes you and me. Remember, folks, when I was gone for 2 weeks, I reminded you, thank you for doing what you needed to do as the Lord's church, because I am not the church, and nor will I ever be the church. I am the under-shepherd. I'm number one servant. That's what I am, but I am not the church. You are, and it is your responsibility to do your part to produce fruit, to allow God to guide and shape your life. What are we looking for? Galatians 5:22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know what he's saying? If we live in the Spirit, then our actions in our life should say it. Amen? How is it you can evaluate yourself today? Struggling with? What is it that you're allowing him to grow in you? What are the convictions that you're struggling with today? We've always got something to grow in, don't we? Did you fall under some of the challenges that Isaiah, did that speak to your heart that you realize that all that he has done in blessing and salvation and guiding and directing, and yet his voice has just been falling on deaf ears? Are you finding yourself discouraged and frustrated? Are you looking to the world to satisfy what only God can bring? Where are you today? Are you the branch that's laying on the ground, covered with soil and dirt? Sinful, rebellious, and wonder why things just aren't feeling right. What is it that you need? Where should we be? We should be in the hands of the Father. Can you see Jesus holding each branch, and as he's explaining to the disciples, I'm the vine. I go to the very ground. I'm the very base. Here you are, the branch. Some of these have no fruit. But he could go to another branch, he say, but some grow with a bounty. My Father in heaven makes that possible. As he guides you and directs you. But he says, but you know, sometimes we get out of line. We find ourselves crawling along the ground, and you need my Father to come and pick you back up. Tie you up where you're safe, to clean you off, give you a new start. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to grow. He's not here to cut you off. The branch is too valuable. Does it mean the vine can't survive without it? No. But God has invested a great deal in you. He sent his Son. He's done all that is necessary if you would come. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we thank you for the lessons of the vine. We thank you for our Father, the vine dresser, is watching over us and guiding us in all of these decisions that we're faced with. Lord, thank you for being able to decipher, giving us wisdom, what is most valuable. We know there's so many things that compete for spending time in you and worship of your name. Some things look so much more inviting, but yet they're empty and they leave us empty. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to see the value of who you have made us to be when we're found in the vine growing through your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us, and may we never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.